The Brad Sessmatt Show, broadcasting live.
It's a good Tuesday. Thanks for being with us. We have Barry Bloom on today. I've always liked Barry, known Barry a long, long time with Sportico. Barry and I go all the way back to San Diego. He's a national, and is a national, I shouldn't say was, he is a national voice who does work with Sportico, he's been with Forbes, he's been with San Diego Union Tribune back in the day, and MLB. So Barry Bloom, I wanted to have Barry on. He wrote about catching up with Pete Rose, following all the news about gambling coming to a place near you soon. And also on Torrey Lovello and basically lame duck status as I see it right now. So we'll talk with Barry Bloom on some baseball today. Looking forward to that. And then Bryce Drew will be with us, the head basketball coach at Grand Canyon University. He's been on my mind. Like, how could you not have, just have some moments where you've taken a program in your first year and you won the conference tournament, and then you took them to the NCAAs and you put up a good fight, and then you lose a player in a tragic, tragic car accident, and then you go hang with your brother at Baylor as he's trying to win a championship, and then you have this service yesterday on campus. I don't know if you guys saw any of the video of that. Oh my gosh. Where Oscar's parents were there, or mom was there, I should say, and it's just very emotional. So, and then there's some transfer stuff too that I want to get to with Bryce Drew. We'll talk some GCU basketball and just what he's been through on his journey. That is all part of today's show. We're brought to you by Desert Financial Credit Union. Desert Financial Credit Union, taking care of you, taking care of your business. That is Desert Financial Credit Union. I have to tell you, last night I was sitting here in my office watching Chris Paul pass Magic Johnson. I was like, you got to be kidding me. I must be old. I mean, forget back in the day, I did have something up here, but I'm not old. Might look old, might sound old. I don't think I do. But I felt old watching Chris Paul do his thing last night with passing Magic Johnson on the all-time assist leader mark. That was something else, because Magic, for me, growing up in Southern California, and just his rookie year, I got mono. So his rookie year, I'm at home. I can't go to school. And this is when games are tape delayed. Now I am sounding old. It's when games are tape delayed. So I watched Magic against the Sixers and Dr. J. And Magic was everything. I watched Magic's first game with the Skyhook with Kareem in San Diego, and goofy Donald Sterling there and the champagne and with the Clippers and all that stuff. So Magic, I was on the air when he was HIV positive. They came in, they handed me this piece of paper and they said, read this. Magic Johnson test positive for HIV. So all that stuff came roaring back at me last night when I'm watching Chris Paul at Milwaukee. The game itself, I mean, there's not many regular season NBA games that I can find myself sitting and watching when it gets to like 3-4 weeks left in the regular season. Because there's teams that are ramping up and there's other teams that have just checked out. The Bucks and Suns, that could be a matchup in the finals. It really could be. And it was fun. It had a little bit of everything last night, but a lot of Chris Paul. And I watched his Zoom afterwards. And he had the basketball under his arm. And he says, I'm going to take this basketball and get an autograph by Magic Johnson. And it was great. It's a lot of fun. Alex Smith retired yesterday from the NFL, and that caught my eye. Alex Smith is someone that almost lost his leg in 2018 from a serious injury. He came back. He was the comeback player of the year. And someone that when I've heard him interviewed and I see people speaking about him, very bright, very smart, very, very intelligent guy. And he's just decided enough is enough. There's this cool little video today online of his family spraying him with champagne when he was cleared to come back and play. It was cool. It was fun to see. So that caught my eye. GCU, and we'll talk with Bryce Drew in a bit. He cannot talk about Holland Woods transferring because Holland Woods has not turned in the paperwork. But look, if you're Arizona State, and Bobby Hurley, I got a note a little bit earlier today that Bobby's going to Zoom on Thursday, and I've got to drop in on that one. Bobby's lost most of his roster. And I know that the narrative is going to be, yes, every college is losing their roster. We are no different. It's basically what it's come to. That's what's going to be said on Thursday. And that's fine. But if you're losing Holland Woods and Tayshaun Cherry and Jalen House, and House is going to New Mexico, Woods and Cherry are going to Grand Canyon University. I've not been the biggest fan of Tayshaun Cherry. Just from the moment he stepped on the court at ASU, physically, he's like, wow. But just doing things that you look at and say, my gosh, immature player. And hopefully he grows up. Hopefully he grows through it. Maybe GCU in that environment will help him out. I don't know. But I do know this, that if you're Arizona State, you're going to get asked the question. Because you recruited those players initially, and those players didn't work out. And I was at an event yesterday with some ASU boosters, and they went right down the path of, well, they couldn't play. They weren't any good anyways. You know, they don't fit Pac-12. Well, guys, you recruited them. So, and I've sat here and said, I'm a fan of Bobby's. I think Bobby Hurley is doing pretty much smoke and mirrors over there because the facility is so dang old. And they just want to have the football team win 10 or 12 games and not go to El Paso so they have money coming in so they can fix up the facility. You know, the hockey facility had to be built, in my opinion. This is all ASU related. But Bobby's done a good job over there. I'm not going to sit here today and say, well, you know, they got to make a change. Do I think the seat could get warm this next year if they don't have success? Sure, I do. But I really believe that the job that Bobby is doing, and when I say seat would be warm, it would be from Big Cigar alums. It would be from the boosters. That's what, you know, if they don't have a good season this next year, the boosters will get short on that. But me, I like where he is, but he's going to get asked about two of your players going cross town to the WAC. He's going to get asked that. And I sit here and say, doesn't matter if it's the WAC. You know, the name of the conference anymore is not that big of a deal. Guys want to go where they can play and get noticed and get to the next level, whether it's the NBA or the EuroLeague or somewhere around the globe. So you need to get off yourself about how great your conference is. You know, did Kentucky make it this year? Did Duke make it this year? Things are changing. World's changing. But for Bobby, you know, do you take any more one and dones? That just did not go well with Bagley and Christopher. And you can always say, well, it was COVID related. You can go back to that. And I'm not saying there isn't part of that that's true. But at some point, it's like, yeah, you know what? We screwed up. And that's not going to happen on Thursday. That's not. It's going to be, these are our new players, and we're really excited about them, and we wish the other players well, and let's get it out there. And I'm just telling you, in my circles, people around town, it's like, wow, ASU losing guys to GCU, that's just simply not good. And it's really interesting because U of A, they go get Dylan Anderson out of Perry High School. I talked about him a little bit yesterday. And they've already added another recruit who flipped from Gonzaga. And so, you know, you see what's going on in the state, and college basketball this year is going to be really interesting. It will be. I'm excited for it. Up next, Barry Bloom. We're going to talk some baseball. The Diamondbacks opening a series at Cincinnati, but Barry caught up with Pete Rose on the subject of gambling. And I want to talk to Barry about that and also his view of Torrey Lovello not having a contract through the end of the season. And then Bryce Drew. I'm Brad Sussmat. All right, as promised, I have been watching Barry Bloom on social media here recently, and he's been a part of some really cool things. And Barry and I go all the way back to the San Diego days when I had hair. So that's the way it works. And it's good to have Barry Bloom with us. Sportico, MLB, Forbes, what else? Am I leaving anything out?
The Bloomberg, the Union Tribune, where it all started in San Diego.
Yeah, yeah.
Actually, the original Tribune, the afternoon paper where I covered the Padres for 10 years.
Well, and today, are you doing, you're doing Sportico. That's your main gig today?
That's it. I'm full-time senior writer for Sportico. It's a great little gig. Not that I expected to have a full-time job at this point in my life, but it's worked out great.
Good for you. You did a piece on Pete Rose, and I want to start on that. I'll get over to the Diamondbacks in a minute. I'm just curious, Barry, with gambling now just full front and center, and there's a generation of this audience or two generations that don't know about the Pete Rose case, but if the Pete Rose situation happened today, what do you think would take place with Pete Rose? Would it be the same? Is it now things with gambling are so different? What do you think?
Well, as I pointed out in the piece, and I pointed out to Pete when he talked about it, Rule 21 still exists. If you're in uniform, you can't bet on baseball games, regardless of what's swirling around you in the stands. If a fan can sit in Section 208 and bet on balls and strikes on their PDA or whatever, it still doesn't mean that players in the dugout are allowed to do it. So I think if somebody was caught doing it, the hammer would come down on that person just as harshly as it came down on Pete.
And we don't know, but 5 years from now, 10 years from now, will we see it differently? Is gambling going to change the face of sports? And let's just talk baseball on this one, is my overriding question.
Well, I think the fact is that, you know, for many years, there was a separation of church and state between gambling and the on-field product with baseball, even to the point where, if you remember, Bowie Kuhn kicked Willie Mays and Mickey Mantle out of the game because they were front men at Atlantic City Casino, you know, and then Peter Uberoff came in and reinstated the two of them. You know, there was a frowning on owners owning racetracks at the same time they're owning baseball teams. And, you know, that's all dissipated already with sponsorships where you have teams like the D-backs, the Padres, Maltese that are in cooperation with agreements and sponsorship agreements with Indian Casino and Las Vegas casinos. So that's all been, you know, dissolving anyway. So over the course of the next 5 to 10 years, as gambling becomes more complacent and all the sports are taking a piece of it and there's great money to be earned, I mean, there's multi-millions of dollars, which will dwarf whatever you're making out of television contracts eventually out of a piece of betting. And whether you're doing it is like, okay, we're really not taking a piece of the betting. This is a sponsorship deal. Well, it's still regarding the betting. So yeah. I think, yeah, I agree with you. In 5 to 10 years, the whole dynamics, and maybe even less, will have changed on how everybody perceives, you know, sports and gambling and where their place is in it.
How was Pete Rose to talk to? Any different?
No, the same as ever. Yeah. You know, look, I've known Pete since he was a player. I've interviewed him multiple times. I've sat in his office. We've always had a free ability, you know, to discuss things with each other. As soon as he realized who he had on the phone, he was really comfortable. You know, I think he didn't put the name together with the face and the time until we started talking. And I'm not afraid to ask Pete, you know, anything. And in fact, you know, when he talked about the situation where his lawyers were the ones who told him that he should deny back in 1989 rather than come clean. And I told him, yeah, Pete, I sat right in front of your desk in the office, just you and me. And you asked me, do you think I bet on baseball? And I said to you, look, you know what you did. But if you tell me you didn't, then I have to take it at face value that you didn't. And he goes, yeah, I'm sorry, you know, but that's what I was told to say. So, I mean, if you have that kind of like relationship with somebody where you can talk to them about something like that, it's a pretty good relationship. Yeah. And, you know, Pete has always been freewheeling. Look, I knew back then, I didn't know he'd bet on baseball. I sure knew he'd bet on football. I mean, he'd come into San Diego. We'd sit in the in his office. I'd come looking for him. He'd be in the on Sundays. He wouldn't even show his face. He'd be sitting in the food room watching football games because he's bet on them. And then on Friday and Saturday, he would ask me for my picks for the rest of the Sunday games. You know, what do you think the Chargers are going to do on Sunday? And I knew it wasn't just out of his love of sports. And, you know, he was also a big bettor at the racetracks. You know, Bob Hersel, who covered the Reds at the time, used to go with him. I mean, this was no real secret about what went on with Pete. It was just a matter of what the depth was, you know, how far into it he was when he was caught.
Really interesting stuff. Barry Bloom with us for a few minutes with Sportico. You can follow Barry on social media and, of course, check out all of his content and his work. Torrey Lovello, is he going to make it?
I hope so. I mean, I think he's really good people. He's one of my favorite, managers in the game in this era. You know, I list him up there friendship-wise and relationship-wise with, you know, with Bochy and Bud Black and Joe Madden and all the great people that I've known over the course of the years who I can sit down and have a conversation with beyond baseball.
He's
at the end of his contract. I think it's a sad situation what's gone on with, Mike Hazen and his wife and her brain cancer. And I think that colors everything. At the same time, he's working hard to try and put a team together. He's got to deal with severe family problems. It's not a very survivable disease. So I think the whole season gets colored by that in a lot of ways. You know, plus you layer as a middle market team, you layer two seasons of COVID on top of it, where, you know, one season with no fans in the stands, another one with partial fans in the stands. You know, it's a franchise, and along with everything and everyone in Major League Baseball, you know, that's taken a bath, except maybe the Atlanta Braves, because, the Braves are public. We know what their money situation is. We know that with the battery that they built around the ballpark, that they had revenue coming in. And in fact, last year in the third quarter, the Atlanta Braves, while they were staging games at the stadium with no fans in the market, we're also making money. So, but I do believe that a team like the Diamondbacks, a team like the Padres are losing a lot of money. And so you have to color everything that's going on right now. It's not really what's going on the field is really not applicable to, you know, what the franchise could be doing. Mm-hmm. So there's a lot of things going on with the Diamondbacks at this point. And really, you know, my heart goes out to them in a lot of ways.
Don't you think though, Barry, I guess here's my view on it is, why can't Ken and Derek just step in and say, we're extending you for another year? Why? Or 2 years? I've never seen a situation where, and fans come to me saying, he's lame duck. And if they keep playing below 500, they're going to punch his ticket and all that. And I agree with you about Torrey. I don't know him as well as you, but in my dealings with him, I find him to be much more than just a guy who's doing this and doing this. You know, he's got a lot going on, and in a good way. I like him. I just don't get why upper management can't step in and say, Mike is dealing with something very, very major here, and we believe in you. Let's sign this. Let's get this out of the way.
Yeah, I mean, that's a management decision. Everybody has their way of doing it. I mean, look, the Yankees do it the same way. You know, Aaron Boone is on the final year of his contract. They always say, you know, we're not dealing with contracts for next season until this season's over, and then we'll make a decision. You know, some ball clubs just have their own way of doing things, and, you know, you don't second guess it. Sir, it would be easy to get this out of the way so that it's not a question all the time. But I just do believe that beyond what happened with, you know, Mike and his wife, I mean, essentially, this is not the best way for Torrey's management style to be used to its utmost. I mean, to me, he sells a program. They bring in players. They have to talk to those players about what part they're going to play in the team. They do individual analytic, physical, nutrition programs for each of the players. Then they have to buy into an entire system. And when you have a constant revolving door of players, it's not a way for that system to really work. I mean, he's such a people person that to have guys going in and out all the time, especially your better players, you know, when you have, you know, guys like Pollock, Goldschmidt, Zach Greinke, over the last few years have departed the franchise for one reason or another in trades or in free agency. And you really haven't had the type of level player to replace those guys. It's very hard to keep that level of expertise and success on the field. And it's not matchable for what Torrey does. You know, other managers are a little different, but I don't think that's Torrey's, strength. And you know, really the manager and the general manager, for whatever reason, always takes it on the chin if you're not winning.
Yep.
And the fact is that except for them making that wild card in Hazen and Torrey's first year, they haven't had much success with the franchise. And you can argue that Dave Stewart and Tony La Russa and Kevin Towers left them a pretty good product that they put in the playoffs. And then they disassembled that product. And this is the results. And that's really a baseball ops decision. And then you give it to Torrey to have to work with. So for them, I look at, Ken is very, he has a tendency to move parts around, yeah, as you know. And I think he's had a lot of patience with these people. But I think if you have a continued lack of success, ultimately you're going to start all over again. You know, and it's never good. I mean, I understand it particularly from Ken's point of view. I mean, what's he, 78 years old? You know, he's a prostate cancer survivor. And at some point, he wants to win before he gets too old to enjoy it. And so the actual, recipe for doing it is not changing the parts all the time. But if the people in charge are not putting together the product that you want with the money you're giving them to do it, then you need to go in another direction. And I think it's been proven in baseball with the Tampa Bay Rays and the Miami Marlins that it's possible to build from with younger players and have a pretty competitive team on the field that makes the playoffs and goes to the World Series without spending a whole ton of money. It's how smart you are and how you do it and put together the team.
No, that's right. That's right. Really good stuff. I want to catch up with you. The Rose story was great. Before I get you out of here, plug your event if you want. I saw that you have this on your Sportico Live next week with Tony Clark. Is that something you can talk about? Or?
Yeah, sure. I mean, in fact, I urge people to go to Sportico or, Sportico on Twitter and sign up for the event. It's not only Tony. I'm interviewing Tony, but, we've got Rob Manfred on. We've got A-Rod on. We've got Randy Levine from the Yankees.
Wow.
We have Stan Kasten. You know, we've really got a great group of people. We put together great events. This is our baseball valuations. You know, our guys who do the valuations for all the sports, they've done a great job with the NBA and the NFL previously. We came out with our baseball valuations a couple of weeks ago. So this is to highlight our baseball valuations and just talk about what's going on in the sport in going into collective bargaining, which is going to happen. Mm-hmm. And, what's going on having the sport playing through exactly what we've just talked about through COVID the last 2 years and how it's affected the sport. So yeah, I would encourage people to listen in. It's free. And I think it's a great value. Usually these things go a couple of hours. And I think this one's going to really be worthwhile.
Good stuff, Barry. Appreciate the time. Stay well, stay safe. Thanks.
Yeah. Thanks for having me on. It's always a pleasure, Brad. Glad you're doing well.
Thank you. There's Barry Bloom with Sportico. Make sure you check it out, that event that I saw, Sportico Live. Appreciate Barry and his time, and we're back with more after this timeout. All right, as promised, Bryce Drew is with us for a few minutes, head basketball coach over at Grand Canyon University, and I can't even begin to tell you the range of emotions that I have seen, felt. I have a daughter who graduated from GCU. Around the community, Bryce, and I know that you've gone through these humps. So I've left you alone for a while. I know you've done some other interviews, which is fine, but I just wanted to get together with you to say, how are you really doing through all this?
You know, it has been a whirlwind of emotions, like you said, you know, from making the NCAA tournament to the tragic news we heard, you know, on Oscar Freyer, to then going back and watching my brother win the national championship, and then, you know, going to graduation and seeing, you know, Oscar's mom, Bianca, and his nephew, EJ, go up and accept his diploma. And so, you know, there's been a lot of tears, Brad. There's been a lot of, you know, excitement. And, you know, as I reflect again, you know, it, Oscar's life, you know, obviously that was the biggest impact during this whole stretch here, is it's a life that was well lived. And his goal was to get that degree, and seeing his mom and EJ go up there and get that degree, it was really fulfilling, because that was a mission that kind of he and I talked about, a goal a year ago. And now a year later, you know, he accomplished that goal and even more goals, you know, than what he probably thought he was going to be able to do in his last year at GCU.
That's the moments and the conversations you've had to have, I'm sure, with President Mueller or just your support group. I'm not asking you to pull the curtain all the way back, but yeah, you probably have learned a lot here about this university during all of this.
You know, I think yesterday at graduation, it was so prevalent, just the impact that Oscar had, and just how GCU's a family. When they brought up, you know, Bianca and EJ, you know, it was immediately a standing ovation, you know, that started with a few students, led quickly to, you know, parents in attendance. And again, these are parents traveling from all over the U.S., from the Midwest to California, from Texas, from all over, and all unanimously got up, you know, with a standing ovation. And these are people that probably have never even met Oscar, you know, never met his mom. And yet I really felt that family atmosphere in that moment, that everyone, you know, knew what was going on, knew the impact of what was happening. And again, gave a standing ovation, you know, in honor of Oscar.
You're going to have to decompress from all this stuff at some point, do you think, in the next 6 months? It's hard as a coach because the calendar never really slows down. And I know with COVID being out, recruiting, that hasn't happened, but it sounds like that may change, you know, by summertime. You're going to find some time to get away from all this, Bryce?
You know, life just keeps coming at you.
Yeah.
You know, yeah. You know, as you know, when you're younger, you know, you think, okay, I can get to that area, and then, you know, things are going to be totally relaxed. And, you know, it's not. You know, I think through it all, you learn to enjoy every day. And each day presents, you know, its own opportunities and blessings, and also its challenges. And, you know, I think you say that a lot, you know, when you're growing up, but when you get things like this that happen, you know, it strikes a new meaning with you. And so, you know, we're truly grateful for just today and dealing with, you know, everything we have to deal with today. And, you know, it'll be ongoing, you know, with our team. You know, you can't walk in our practice gym down there and not think of O's big smile and how it was for, you know, at morning workouts. And so, you know, it's not going to be something that goes away. It's something that we're going to have to deal with, you know, on a daily, on a weekly basis. And, you know, I think that we can find the good in it all, because again, he accomplished so much, you know, in this last year, and so much just growth that we saw, and just the happiness that he had. And I think those are memories that are going to help all of us, you know, get through as we go into next season, you know, as we practice and play, and those memories flash back.
Bryce Drew with us for a few minutes. You know, I've always believed that you don't know about this faith thing until you're being stretched. And you're being stretched. Your team's being stretched. A lot of people are being stretched right now. You feel that at all?
For sure. You know, we're a school of faith, and our school does a tremendous job, you know, reaching people. And, you know, I think Oscar is the epitome of a story of what GCU stands for. You know, a year ago, he couldn't even play basketball. You know, was going through some hard times, you know, in a matter of 12 months, you know, he totally got his life on the trajectory that I think everybody, you know, knew that he was going to eventually get to. He just did it a lot quicker. And, you know, I think, you know, faith, you want to see faith in action. You want to see lives change. Mm-hmm. And I think the greatest testimony to our players is they saw a life change from a year ago today to the summer to basketball season, and then to the end of the season when he rededicated his life, you know, to the Lord in the Christian faith. And they only not only saw him and heard him do that, but they actually, you know, witnessed how his life changed and how his heart, you know, again, was so giving and loving and just the happiness that he had. And, you know, that's a testimony to me, you know, when I look at that and I see that you see God at work in his life. And he was definitely along those footsteps with him coming back to GCU.
It's good stuff. I'm all over the place.
Yeah. Baylor. But that one's Baylor. Not going to happen now. That's too close to home with the heart, man, with the brothers. It's too stressful. So we've always said we wanted to play, you know, deep in the NCAA tournament, like hopefully the Final Four. So that'd be the only time that we'd actually, if it was up to us, that we'd want to meet.
Transfers. So yesterday you could talk about two. Can you talk about three, or you can still only talk about two?
Only two. So far, Tayshaun Cherry, you know, has officially signed. So we're really excited about Tayshaun. I've seen him play since high school, and he really enjoyed his game. I know he developed in a lot of areas, you know, in these 3 years of college at ASU. So we're hoping, you know, he comes in and just has a great year for us. And then Aiden Egeyan, it's a tough last name to pronounce, yeah. but he's a fun guy to watch. And he brings a 6'10", power forward, you know, athleticism to our team. He's a former top 50 player in the country from Louisville. And so we're really thrilled, you know, both those guys will be joining us next year.
And how many do they have left to give?
We're still recruiting. As you know, you're always recruiting.
Yeah, yeah.
But right now our roster looks pretty good for next year. We like the pieces we have. We like how they fit together, but as you know, sometimes how things look on paper and how they come out, you know, don't always line up. So we're hoping what we see on paper will end up even better when we get them on the court together, you know, starting this summer.
When we talked last year, maybe it was when I had President Mueller on, and I just brought up the idea that maybe possibly your bigs may stick around. it didn't sound like that was happening.
Yeah, that possibility went to that quick. we kind of saw a shift as the season went on, and you know, we won the conference regular season championship. We were kind of like, think they're gone.
Yeah,
and then we won the conference tournament championship. Like, they're definitely gone.
So
I think they felt like, you know, their career in college, you know, they accomplished, you know, what they wanted to accomplish, and had a lot of fun doing it. And it's time to, you know, move on to their pro career. And the great thing is they played so well, and they played well in the NCAA tournament. They've really put themselves in an excellent position to sign a nice contract, you know, next year.
That's got to be rewarding. Anything else going on in the off season? You know, I mentioned giving you a little bit of a hard time about Baylor, but is there any scheduling things coming up? Are you finding, because of your success in the NCAAs and making it and winning the conference tournament, that there's some people knocking on your door? That's always seemed to have been the case with Jerry helping out on scheduling. Are you finding that even more so?
It's actually made it harder. Going to the tournament, I think, has made it harder to schedule. And also the other difficulty is a lot of contracts are getting carried over from last year.
Oh, that's right.
There's not a lot of available games, you know, this year compared to hopefully next year, what it'll be like, because remember, most games in November or with COVID, a lot got canceled.
Yep.
And so those contracts, a lot of them just roll over. So like us, we've had some games filled, and then other teams the same way. They just don't have a lot of freedom to add a lot of teams to their schedule. So we're working through that. We only have a handful of games left to schedule. And then hopefully, you know, we can get something announced, early this summer on our schedule.
Good, good. Well, I appreciate you catching up with me again. Been thinking about you a lot. You guys have been through a ton over there. And yesterday, this, the emotions of it. And thanks for coming on short notice and catching up.
Nah, Brad, I thank you. Thanks for the great questions, too. And again, it was an awesome moment for the GCU family yesterday.
There's Bryce Drew, and we're back with more after this timeout.